You ready for the Word of God? Well, I'm wondering, have you ever received a life-defining word from God? I want you to reflect on your life for a moment. Have you ever received a word from Him that just like shifted your life? I remember in 2018, it feels like yesterday, but I guess that would be 7 years ago now, is that right? 2025 minus 2018. Wow. But in 2018, I remember Ebony and I were actually on a holiday. It was the middle of the year. I believe it was around my birthday and our wedding anniversary. And we actually were in Adelaide and we got to preach at a youth camp. It was awesome. And then we went to Melbourne and we had a holiday here. And I think that was Ebony's first time ever in Victoria. Is that right? We went to Melbourne, checked out the cool coffee. It was so funny. You guys know how Melbourne's known for cool coffee. I like found this place. I thought it was all cool. And I put it in my Google Maps and it took me 45 minutes to find it. I'm like, Google is saying it's right here. And everybody's like, can we just go? I'm like, no, I need good coffee. And it was flipping underground. And so I learned that day Melbourne has some underground vibes as well. Google needs to be three-dimensional. But anyway. Then we went to, I was blessed growing up, my grandparents had a farm, and so we then went to this farm, and so we're having this awesome holiday, and I just felt this nudging from the Holy Spirit, and I felt this nudging from God that He just wanted to speak to me. I felt this nudging from Him just to go for a prayer walk and spend some time with Him. I'm reminded David said in a psalm that, I heard you say, come and speak to me, and my heart responded, Lord, I am coming. So whenever we feel that nudging, make sure you obey. So I go for this prayer walk, and I got to tell you, it would be one of the most powerful encounters I've ever had with God. And it was so random. It wasn't in the middle of a conference. It wasn't in the middle of a church service. It wasn't even like, I don't know. It was just like in the middle of my holiday. I'm going for this prayer walk. And I got to tell you, the Word of God came alive to me. And I just was like, it's almost like He was speaking prophetic vision over my life for the next 5 years. And I'm just weeping, I'm crying, I'm like seeing visions. I'm like, it was so random, just while I'm walking with some cows and dodging cow manure. And I'm just there and all of a sudden I just like get out my phone and I just start just prophesying over myself what God had spoken to me. And it actually turned into like an 8-minute prophecy or just word from God, like just so I would remember. And do you know what was absolutely wild? I'll tell you some of the things, but that was, I'd just come from Melbourne, and within 40 days of that moment, within 40 days of that word from God, Ebony and I were in Pastor John and Dan's office getting asked to pray about moving to Melbourne. And I had no idea that was even part of God's plan at the time. And it was incredible because God's word came to me, and it spoke so clearly to me, and I listened to it years on. I listened to it this week. And I got to tell you, it was like so spot on for what I needed to hear God. It's like I'm reading now the history of my life. But at the time, it was God's prophetic vision. And like just an example, I just kept saying, I felt God saying to me, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you. And I had no idea what He was talking about. Maybe I'm to a new high school to preach the gospel. Or anyway, little did I know it would be all the way to Melbourne. But I say all this because that word from God shifted my life, and I had this big thought for us here that there is nothing better guiding your life and my life than a word from God. There is nothing better than guiding our life than a word from God. And that word from God guided me. It guided me through all the noise of life. It guided me through all the options before me. That word I received from God guided me through my personal goal setting and all these things. But more than anything, when I needed direction most, when Ebony and I were seeking God, is this you, God? Do you want us to pack up our life and sell our house and move to Victoria? When I needed direction in one of my greatest life's decisions, I could go back to this overarching word that God had spoken over me. And I believe this, and we can receive what the Bible calls a rhema word of God. And a rhema word of God is like a quickened word. When we read the Bible and it's like something jumps out of us and you're like, wow, that is just for me. We can receive rhema words from God for a day, for a week, or for a circumstance or situation. But I also believe that we can receive a rhema word from God for an entire season of our life. And I'm believing that as we enter 2025, you and I need to get on our knees and go, Lord, what is your word to me this year? What's your word over this season? I love Psalm 119 verse 105. It says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So whenever you and I are looking for direction, for guidance, for wisdom, for where we're going next, I love this verse. It says, when his word comes alive to us, it's a lamp to our feet. And so it shows us the next step we should take. But how powerful is this? It's not just a lamp to our feet. It lights up our entire path. And I imagine it like this. You and I are on this journey of life. And when we receive the word of God, it's like it puts the guardrails across and it lights up a path for you and I to walk into the future. And that's what this word did for me. There is nothing better guiding your life than a word from God. I love Pastor Phil. He says this, if we begin this new year on our knees, we will finish this year on our feet. If you and I would begin this year on our knees going, Lord, what's your word for me for this year? In 2025, before I even think about setting my goals and my dreams and my desires, and before I even go down that path, which is awesome, but Lord, what's your word for me? I commit this year to you. And if we would begin our year in this posture, guess what, friend? This next coming December, as we're going into the silly season again, you and I will be on our feet strong for God. But the other thing is true. Well, if you and I begin this year on our feet, going, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not actually going to look at you, God, right now. I'm setting my goals and my vision and my dreams, and we might actually end the year on our knees saying, Lord, I'm sorry, please help me. If we begin this year on our knees, we will end on our feet. Jesus is so wonderful. He is our shepherd. And I just wanted to say, if there's anybody here who doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, the one who guides us and leads us, by the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to him. But let's look at this key verse again. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We're going to talk about that. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. See, your race will be different to my race, which will be different from that guru on Instagram's race, which will be different from Tony Robbins. Like, we all have a different race, a different path that the Lord has lit up for us. And we should run with perseverance. How? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So I got two thoughts here today. My first one, as we enter 2025, is to receive a word from God. Everyone say, receive. I want to encourage us here today. Let's begin 2025. This is my prayer that I would begin 2025 with our eyes fixed on Jesus. We could fix our eyes on so many things. We can fix our eyes on ourselves and we can fix our eyes on the world. We could fix our eyes on our selfish desires, on our flesh. We could fix our eyes on nothing and just pretend and just keep going with life. But you and I get to choose where we fix our eyes in this life. We choose where our focus goes. This is within our decision-making and our control. And I love that the author of Hebrews is saying, guys, you've got a race set out before you from God, and I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus. And so I encourage us here today, when it comes to this time of year where, as Ebony said, it is a natural rhythm where we can hear God, we can dream dreams and see visions. Let's begin with our eyes fixed on him. And I would encourage us at this time of year, the posture of our heart is one of listening and of obedience. And if I'm honest, this is a journey I've gone on. I'm naturally wired to be an ambitious goal setter. Oh my gosh, you should have seen my goals when I was 19. It was like an A3 page of paper of just nonsense that there was no way like even a human robot could do. And I've slowly over the years just gone, heard God saying, hey, yes, goals are good. And I'm going to talk about that. But more than us coming to God saying, here are my dreams, God. Here are my desires, my goals. Can you bless them? I encourage, let our posture begin with us kneeling to God and saying, what's your will for my life this year? What's your word over my life? And the blessing flows out of that place. And as I said before, I picture it, it's like the word of God sets the guardrails of the path he has for us. And then within that path, we dream dreams, we set goals, we set habits. That's all awesome. But more than anything, we begin following Jesus. So as you begin this new year, my question for you to reflect on this morning, the question I'm reflecting on is, where are your eyes fixed right now? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? We are following Christ. John 10 verse 27, this is Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John, and he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's a promise from God here today, friend, that you might be here going, Dan, this all sounds great, but I'm struggling to hear the voice of God. How do I hear this word? How do I have that moment of hearing his voice? Well, Jesus says and he promises that my sheep, which is us, his people, they listen to my voice. Key word, we need to listen. I know them and they follow me. This is a beautiful verse because it shows us the heart of Jesus. He's known as our great shepherd. And in 2025, you have a Lord and Savior who wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. He wants to speak to you, and he wants to bless you. He has nothing but good things in his heart for you this year. Obedience isn't, it's not him trying to destroy our fun or be a but. It's actually so that the blessing of God comes upon our life. Interestingly, early Christians were not called Christians. Unless my theology is a little bit wrong, I don't think you see the word Christian in the New Testament. I could be wrong there. But what it was, they were known in the book of Acts before, after Jesus had just rose again. They were known as followers of the way. Followers of the way. And so by definition, being a disciple of Jesus, we are in a position of following Christ. We are followers of the way. And I love the journey of discipleship as one of following Christ. And this is how I like to picture it. I'm doing a bit of an analogy this morning, but your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And how I picture it in my life is Jesus, my personal shepherd and savior, my Lord and my God. He is before me and he's saying, grab my hand, and he's leading us. We're following him. He hasn't left us to our own device trying to find the way in the dark. He's saying, no, just fix your eyes on me. Follow me and I will lead you. Psalm 73 verse 24, speaking to God, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. So Jesus here today is saying, I want to guide you, my son, my daughter. I want to guide you with my counsel, my word, my voice. And where is he taking you? Into a glorious destiny. Into bigger things, better things, greater things. Come on, your future is greater than your past. He has good things in store for you. But it's up to us whether we would listen and obey. And I love personally every now and then, because as humans, I don't know if it's just me, we can so easily become quite prideful. We can quite easily go, oh, what would God know? I've listened to this TED talk. What would God know? I heard someone screaming at me on an Instagram reel. But if we actually slow down and think about who is guiding us, it is none other than the God of heaven and earth who created every single living thing. He has always been, always will be. God sits outside of time. He sees your life and my life from the beginning to the end. David said in Psalm 139, my life is like a book to you. Every chapter already written before a single moment came to pass. So God knows your future and he knows my future. He knows what you and I need. He knows what where we should go. And he is greater than any human wisdom or human understanding. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And something I've learned through my own pride is every now and then I just need to remind myself and humble myself under the hand of God and say, God, you know better than me. I think I know, but I don't. And if God ever asks me to do something, I've learned is because his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I can trust my shepherd that he is asking me and guiding me into a glorious destiny. That's the heart behind this. And so as we enter this new year, and we're going to have some space to do this a bit later in the service, I just want you and I to have some time waiting on God, fixing our eyes on Jesus and saying, Lord, as I enter this new year, what is your word? What's your heart? What, you know, for some people that comes in a word, I know some people who get a one word for each year. It might be endurance. It might be faith. It might be testing. Hopefully that's not yours this year. It might be joy. Like there can be words. For other people, this is probably something that I've lent into. Lord, what's one scripture for this year? And what's like just one thing that you are trying to say to me? For others, they might get a vision. They might get a prophetic dream. It can look like any way, but it's us going with a posture saying, Lord, before I even begin to plan this year, set my goals, before I get into the busyness of life again, I just pause. I look up to my creator, to my shepherd, and I say, Lord, what's your word? Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision, when you and I don't have a vision from God for our future, we cast off restraint. Or another version says, we begin to perish. When people lack guidance or ignore it, they might act impulsively or selfishly or destructively, abandoning self-control and moral principles. Casting off restraint suggests abandoning discipline or boundaries, leading to chaos or harm. So you and I, God's wired us. We need to have a vision from God about our life, about our future, about our family, about our children, about our church, about our calling, about our finances, our health. We're called to have a vision of the future and to step into it with faith and courage. So today, would you posture your heart? Will I posture my heart just to hear from God? Will we seek him to receive a word from him? Maybe for some of us, even just reflecting, what has he already spoken over your year? What has he already prophesied? And will we follow? And we'll have a moment later for that. Amen? Number two, I want everyone to say, remove hindrances and sin. So, you and I receive a word. We have a lamp to our feet and a light to our path for the year. But my next question is, well, what can stop you and I from living out what God has spoken over us? I remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, my family actually got broken into, and we came home from school and just realized that people had come into our home and just robbed our house, and I just remember it was quite a traumatic moment because it just happened out of nowhere, and my dad wasn't there, and I was screaming, and my brother was screaming, and you know, it was just a big thing, and for me, it actually set about a 2 or 3 year where I was quite afraid of robbers. I would wake up in the middle of the night terrified, and it was just an awful season where, yeah, fear got upon me through this. But on the lighter side of that, I remember I had a best friend growing up. His name was Ben, and we would have sleepovers. And what we would do is in those sleepovers, because we both were a little bit scared of being robbed, a little bit scared of being broken into, what we would do before we fell asleep is we would set traps all around the house. You know what I'm saying? All around the perimeter, trying to catch our first robber. Like, you know, you may have grown up fishing, trying to catch a fish. We were trying to catch these little punks who robbed our family. And so I remember, like, we would set up, like, and I'm so glad my parents never stepped on it because I would have got good old wooden spoon, but we'd set up like nails like around the house coming up. We'd set up booby traps of like wire. We would set, we'd buy these like spy toys from Kmart. You know what I'm saying? Night vision goggles and we would, you know, we would, it was so much fun. But we would set up traps all around the house trying to catch these robbers, trying to get them before they got to us. And do you know, on this path that God has set out for you and I, the enemy has traps that he has set before us. And just like I was trying to catch that robber and hurt them and get them stuck so they couldn't do their mission, the Bible says that there is an enemy out there. God came to give us life, but the enemy came to rob, kill, and destroy. We shouldn't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And it's not to be scared of, but it's to be aware of, that there is demonic spirits that are trying to rob, kill, and destroy you and I from entering fully into the what God has for us this year. And I believe in this passage of Scripture that the writer of Hebrews shows us to two traps that are set out on this path, that if you and I step into them, we get stuck in this trap, and then we'll get to December next year, and we'll look back and go, man, I didn't fully step into what God had for me. I didn't fully obey what he spoke over my life. So we read the first trap. So what we're reading in Hebrews, let us throw off everything that hinders. So something that can take our eyes off Jesus, something that can rob us from stepping fully into what God has for us is things that hinder. And we talk, the next point will be sin that entangles, but they're actually two different things, but they both have the same goal. Things that hinder are actually, they're not sinful things. They're good things that distract us, good things that fill our life with busyness, noise, and distraction. Corrie ten Boom, a famous woman who was caught up in the Nazi Germany camps, once said that if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you distracted. And see, sin and things that hinder us, they actually end up in the same outcome, with our eyes not fully on Jesus, but on other things. A great other quote, the philosopher Dallas Willard, who was a great spiritual teacher in the 1900s, he said that hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. And I'm sure you've heard of the title of this book, You Must Ruthlessly Eliminate Hurry from Your Life. And so this year, there is a trap set before us and a trap set before me of things that are going to try to distract us, saying, hey, don't look at Jesus, look at me. And what can happen if we're not careful is we can start this year great, and in January, I'm living what God's called me to do. I'm in the house of God every Sunday. I'm seeking Him in prayer and the Word and fulfilling the call of God. But then it hits April, and all of a sudden, something begins to hinder me from running the race set before me. Both sin and busyness have the same effect. They cut off our connection to God, to other people, and even to our own soul. And I don't know about you, but we live in a day and age where this is harder than it has ever been to live a life that is not distracted. There is so much noise, right? Can you relate, or is it just me? There is so much noise. And you and I have to stay so disciplined to say, you know what? I'm not going to go down the path of things that hinder me. These are things like, as I said, none of these are evil in of itself. They're not bad. But it could be our phone, the distraction of endless Instagram, endless TikTok, endless Facebook or YouTube. It could be the pursuit of money, that it's prevalent in our mind. Before we think about God, we're thinking about finances. It may be Netflix, Disney Plus, Prime Video, you pick your poison. It could be that. It could be our careers. It may even be ministry. Woo, that doing for God can be more distracting than being with God. It can be sleep. It can be that snooze button. Maybe that's the thing that's hindering you this year. I know I'm like ruffling a few feathers. I'm sorry, friends. I'm talking to myself. But what comes between you and Jesus? That's not sin, but it hinders. And I can tell you one thing I know about you, because you're like me. Right now, there's at least one thing. I can list about 10 in my life. What is it that comes between you and the race set before you? What comes between you and having your eyes fixed on Jesus every day in 2025? And the brutal truth for you and I is that whatever that is, we need to be very serious about eliminating it coming before God in our life, because it can rob you and I from what God has for us and has called us to. It can rob you and I of our intimacy with Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I think about my life, if anything comes in the way between me and Jesus, it's not worth it. And so I want to encourage us, what is the thing that could hinder you? What's the thing that could hinder me? And let's eliminate that. I don't have time to go fully into it, but But Luke 10, 41, verse 42, Martha had one of these moments. There's a story of two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Martha invites Jesus into their home. Martha's preparing the food. Martha's busy, distracted, doing good things, right? Was Martha sinning? No, Martha was actually doing good things. She was preparing food for Jesus, getting the seats out ready, getting everything ready for this party. And her sister Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha gets furious. I think I have a similar personality to Martha because I get angry. Listen to this. But anyway, but Jesus said, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." See, Martha was busy doing, distracted, good things. But Mary had set her face on Jesus and sat down at his feet and just listened to him. And Jesus said, "Martha, I know your heart. I know that you love me, but what's the one thing that is needed? It is that thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus." And number two, as I invite the band up, things that hinder. Number two is sin that entangles. The difference between sin and things that hinder us is sin is bad things that remove us from God. It's disobedience. It can be so many different things, addictions, or there's just any form of sin that you and I can struggle with. But the danger of sin is just like busyness separates us from God, in our life I've discovered sin separates us from God. The Bible says that the consequence of sin is separation from God and death. And so my encouragement for us here today as we begin a new year is going, all right, my heart is to receive a word from God, and I'm going to enter this path that God has before me, mindful and aware that there will be things that hinder me that I just need to not go down that path and keep my eyes on Jesus. But there will also be sin that tempts me. And sin comes in all various forms. There's more what we think of as obvious sins, like looking at porn or whatever it is. But then there's also more small sins. Like I was talking about before, pride in our heart. Or gossiping. There's all these things. But the thing about sin is it can separate us from God. Genesis 4:7 says, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not what do is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Sin is crouching at our door, the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, it will entangle us. Sin entangles us. It's like, I want to live for God, but I'm entangled in this. And so you and I today, my encouragement is let's just repent and remove that sin from our life. Nothing is worth coming between us and Him. And so here today, friend, we're going to spend some time just waiting on the Lord. I hope I've encouraged you today, but my heart would be that each of us receive a word from God. We begin this year with our eyes fixed on the Lord, asking Him with a posture of listening, "Lord, my ears are open to your word." And that you and I would run our race with perseverance, removing the hindrances that could trap us and the sin that could entangle us. And if you and I would do this, I know God has such a wonderful plan for your life. God has such great things that He wants to do in you, through you, for you, and you will look back at the end of this year and be astounded at the goodness and faithfulness of God. But what is He asking of us here today? I believe He's simply asking, will you follow? Will you follow your great shepherd? Will you and I follow our Lord and Savior as He leads us into a glorious destiny? Can we all just stand in this place? I really believe that here this morning, there's just an atmosphere. And what I'm doing is I'm going to create some space. Just space for you and I to hear from God. Space from you and I just to...